Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the power of prayer, the privilege of prayer, and the opportunities you give us to pray, and the encouragements from your holy word to motivate us to pray. And we pray that you would help us to follow your example and to pray much more than what we pray now, to pray longer than what we pray now, to be like you. For you taught us to pray and how to pray, and you set the example for us to pray, to follow in prayer, to follow you in prayer. And so, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins of prayerlessness and not praying more, not praying longer, and spending more time in your presence. For Lord, if you can set the kind of example you set and pray all night, certainly we can pray 1 hour. And grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray like you. And we pray that you would shake up the world again and that you would turn the world upside down once more before it is eternally too late, as you did with your servant, Billy Graham, who is now home with you. And we know it's a beautiful situation. We don't understand it all. We look through a glass darkly, but we know that it is exactly how you said it would be and then some. And tonight we pray that you would encourage your saints to pray more and to pray longer and to pray sincerely, but we also pray for the salvation of those who are lost, for that's what your servant Billy Graham would want us to do, for he had a burden for lost souls, for lost sinners. And by faith he went around the world and preached some of the greatest crusades for Christ known to man. By your power and by your might and through the power of prayer, which we will hear tonight, at least part one of it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to preach in your hearing, as the old preachers used to say it, a simple message titled Prayer, the Power Behind the Life and Preaching of Billy Graham, Part 1. As you know, beloved, and this is Praying Through the Bible, number 285. We're still in the long series, over 5 years now, I believe, of preaching on prayer every Wednesday night. As you know, we are in a rather long series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you, to exhort you, to challenge you, and yes, if you will, to motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and not to pray to anybody, and not to pray in anybody's name. You must pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, otherwise you're wasting your time. By the grace of God, we have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 284 messages in this series. Due to the death of the renowned evangelist Billy Graham, this is message number 285, and I'm going to interrupt our series to preach in your hearing, by the grace of God, prayer, the power behind the life and preaching of Billy Graham. As many of you probably know by now, Dr. Billy Graham, the great evangelist who preached the gospel live, face to face, before millions of people and via radio and television to millions more, has died at the tender age of 99. He almost made it to 100. But when God says it's time to go, it's time to go. And he's, I am sure, ecstatic about it, excited about it. He's not mad about leaving shy of 100 years. God gave him a long and blessed life. Rarely does the man outlive his wife, but he did. And bless her heart, they are reunited tonight in heaven. Probably sitting on a bright and shiny porch, not the old wooden porch they have up in the mountains. And I guarantee you, Billy Graham is saying now, it was worth it all. Amen, somebody. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, many are writing about, speaking about, and pondering what made his ministry and testimony so powerful, his preaching so powerful that he was called on by 12 U.S. presidents and the Queen of England and other kings, potentates, prime ministers, for counsel and advice. He was a prophet in modern times, and not just an evangelist, but a prophet and an evangelist. For if you follow his life and his books and his writings, he was always consistent and he was honest and transparent. Not like so many preachers are today who act like they don't know how to talk when they get on CNN and they get on MSNBC, to the point that most, or even Fox News, that most of these major news organizations don't even want to have preachers anymore, because oftentimes they talk out of both sides of their mouth. Billy Graham did not do that. Billy Graham told us very clearly what made his ministry so powerful and his preaching so powerful and so magnetic and so charismatic in the true sense of the word, and so energetic. He said prayer is crucial in evangelism. He said it over and over again. Many people think that it was the advanced men who went out and did this, that, and other, but they would tell you also it was all about prayer. People praying, the people of God praying. You cannot pull off that many major crusades without somebody praying and praying hard, and many people praying. What a band of men and women that God used, not only Billy Graham, but all of the people who supported him, from Minnesota to North Carolina, to England, to Africa, to Asia, to Europe, Only God can change the heart, he said. Only God can change the heart of someone who is in rebellion against him. No matter how logical our arguments or fervent our appeals, our words will accomplish nothing unless God's Spirit prepares the way through prayer. Billy Graham got his example, of course, in prayer from none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, whom the Gospels record many times as praying, even though he is God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Yet he prayed to God the Father. You say, preacher, I can't get my head around that. That's okay. Just believe it. You'll be all right. And the passage we have just read today states that Jesus went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now, beloved, regarding this particular verse, Dr. Warren Wiersbe writes, Jesus spent the whole night in prayer because he was about to call his 12 disciples, his 12 apostles, his chosen messengers from whom, or rather from among the many disciples who were following him. Why did he pray all night? For one thing, he knew that opposition to him was growing and would ultimately result in his crucifixion. So he prayed for strength as he faced the path ahead. Also, he wanted the Father's guidance as he selected his 12 apostles for the future of the church, rested with them. Keep in mind that one of the 12 would betray him. His name is Judas. And Jesus knew who he was from the beginning. And Jesus had his eye on him, saying at one time, and one of you is a devil. Our Lord had real human emotions, and it was through prayer that he made this difficult choice. So, my beloved, in light of Jesus' example and the great impact that one of his ambassadors has had on the church and the world for the glory of God, I would like to share with you briefly from a sermon Dr. Billy Graham delivered titled Power When You Pray. He goes on to say, many people like to believe that they are the masters of their own fate. It's very appealing to the flesh, isn't it? That phrase is taken from a poem titled Invictus by the British author William Henley. He wrote, out of the night that covers me, black as the pit, from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate. By the way, a direct quote from Jesus Christ, this atheist person used. So no matter how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll, talking about the Holy Scriptures. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. These lines have become favorites among atheists and agnostics. It all sounds brave on paper, but when death took Henley's 6-year-old daughter, Margaret, he was heartbroken and began to realize that he was not the master of his fate. When he died, all his bravado had disappeared. We are not the masters of our fate, individually or collectively, even though it's very appealing to the flesh, that thing in us who likes that kind of talk and thinking. How can men boast that they control their own destiny when viruses invisible even under powerful microscopes lay low tens of thousands of people every year? How can our country insist that with our military might, our tremendous wealth, and our foreign alliances, we are the masters of our own fate, when history testifies that God shapes the course of nations and oversees the rise and fall of political leaders? The world continues to wrestle with poverty, war, disease, and ignorance as the population continues to explode. America is caught up in a stream of history that is beyond her ability to control. There is only one power available to change the course of history, and that is the power of prayer, the prayer of God-fearing, Christ-believing men and women. But today we have come to a place where many people regard prayer as simply a formality. We have no sense of coming to grips with God, except for the continuation of a venerated tradition. Yet how can we go on unless there is a renewed emphasis on prayer? Can somebody say amen in this black church? Thousands of people pray only in times of great stress, danger, or uncertainty. However, Christ instructed his followers to always pray. So fervent and so direct were the prayers of Jesus that once, when he had finished praying, his followers turned to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." What a glorious thing it would be if millions of us would avail ourselves of the privilege of prayer. Jesus Christ died to make this communion and communication with the Father possible. He told us of the joy in heaven when one sinner turns from sin to God and breathes the simple prayer, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." In scores of passages, Jesus Christ offered further guidance, and because he practiced what he preached, his whole life was a series of lessons on prevailing prayer. Can somebody say amen? Jesus had only 3 years of public ministry, yet he was never too hurried to spend hours in prayer. And I'm adding this, Martin Luther said, "I have so much to do today that I must spend the first 3 hours in prayer." How quickly and carelessly, by contrast, we pray. We utter snatches of memorized verses hastily in the morning, Then we say goodbye to God for the rest of the day until we rush through a few closing petitions at night, if we even do that. This is not the prayer program that Jesus outlined. Jesus pleaded long and repeatedly. It is recorded that he spent entire nights in fervent appeal to God the Father. But how little perseverance and persistence and pleading we show. Luke 18:1 says, Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men are always to pray and not to faint. Can somebody say amen? The scripture also says, pray without ceasing. This should be the motto of every follower of Jesus Christ. Never stop praying, no matter how dark and hopeless your case may seem. Never stop praying, because there is power in prayer. And the church said, amen. Let's all stand. Holy Father God, we thank you for your servant, Billy Graham, who left behind thousands of messages like that. Many were preached live. Many were preached in the quietness of a radio studio or a television studio. There were times when Billy Graham would just get behind a mic in a studio and preach to the whole nation or even a region of the world. We thank you for the power of the technology that you have wrought down through the years. Back then it was radio, and then television came along, and these enterprising evangelists took advantage of it, and no one did it better than Billy Graham. And we thank you now for the internet, where we can pick up these messages in audio, video, written and in written form, and they will forever be there until you come back. Lord, we give you the glory, praise, and honor for how what you did with his life and for your glory. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us, with him being dead yet speaketh, to hear him again. Encourage us to pray without ceasing, and to pray always. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, if you're with us today, here's what Billy Graham would tell you. He would tell you that you must be born again. You must trust Christ as Savior if you want to go to heaven one day and avoid going to hell. And so if you want to be saved today, if you want to avoid going to that awful place called hell, which we all deserve, and you want to go to heaven, where we, none of us deserve to go, you must trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Your first prayer needs to be, if you will, what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws, just as I have. And Billy Graham would tell you the same thing about himself. Many think that he was a proud and very stuffed shirt type person and thought he was important. He never thought that of himself. He was sick of people lauding praise on him. And the last thing on earth he wanted was that kind of fame. But he was a humble man and a meek man. And he will tell you in a heartbeat that he is a great sinner as well. He will say every now and then, My wife is here, and she'll tell you how much of a sinner I am. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, please understand with me that you need to accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. That is why parents chastise their children and discipline their children and punish their children and take away certain privileges, because there is punishment for sin always. That's why right now as I speak, there's a police officer driving down your road, scaring the daylights out of some of your neighbors. And rightfully so, he has the authority of God to do so. That's why we have local governments, state governments, federal governments all around the globe to punish evildoers and to reward the good citizens, and to punish evildoers for doing evil. So don't be shocked. One man the other day who violated little girls, he's in jail for multiple lifetimes. Many have gone to the electric chair. Some have been shot to death because of their evil ways and sins. Yes, there is a punishment for sin. And why would there not be a punishment for sin in a place called hell forever for those who do not trust Christ as Savior, those who don't pass by the attorney who has never lost a case and get washed in the blood of the Lamb and trust Christ as Savior? He took our punishment. He took our hell. Jesus Christ is the sacrificial Lamb, John the Baptist said, who took away the sins of the world, your sins and mine. We don't deserve to have this good news of Jesus Christ paying our sin debt. We don't deserve it. We deserve hell. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death. We die physically as punishment for sin, and our body goes to the grave. We die spiritually as punishment for sin, and our soul goes to that place called hell to live a death forever. In that awful place called hell, eternal punishment forever. No escape. I know it's shocking. I know it's painful to think about, but let it scare you if that is what you need to trust Christ as Savior today. Hell is an awful place. Jesus Christ was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, unlike many preachers today. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ to preach more on hell than he did about heaven. Thank God for Billy Graham, who was not afraid to preach what the Bible taught, that there is an eternal hell somewhere. And we as preachers ought not to back down off of that. I'm worried about whether or not we're going to scare people. The question is, where will we scare them? Hell number one, hell number two, or hell number three? But hell exists. If you don't trust Christ as Savior, you will not be going to heaven. It's as simple as that. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place. Hell is a terrible place. Hell is a bad place of torment. It's bad news, but I have some good news for you. Again, Jesus Christ, yes, the same Jesus Christ who preached on hell, preached on how you can go to heaven. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him and with God. For that's ultimately what God wants. That's what Jesus wants. And Jesus did not only die for you to save you from hell, he died for you to save you to heaven. You ask why? God and Jesus want to fellowship with us. I don't understand it either. I don't know why he wants to fellowship with us. We're so vile and evil and pitiful. But that's how much God loves us, believe it or not. That's how much God loves you. I don't understand that kind of love. We'll break our brains trying to understand that kind of love. We're so unlovable, so undeserving. But that's the kind of love that God has for you. That's the kind of love that Jesus Christ has for you. We could not save ourselves, so the God who created us from nothing, from the dirt, from the ground, he wrapped himself in flesh and came and died on the cross for your sins and mine, and became the eternal Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, all of our ugliness, all of our wickedness, once and for all. No more need for lambs being split open and blood flowing as it was in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is the pure Lamb of God who died on the cross for your sins and for mine. I cannot explain all of the details of it. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you shalt be saved. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray with me right now. Repeat after me. I did it some 40 years ago almost. Michael Lewis led me to the Lord. Billy Graham did it for millions. He led folks in prayer to trust Christ as Savior. Had other ministers to go down to the front and lead people in prayer. It's called leading folks to Jesus. It is the most wonderful event in the history of the world. And I'm glad that you will give me that privilege tonight. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. If you're driving, listening to Spreaker Live, pull over. Particularly if you're in Texas, because it's raining ice out there. Wherever you might be, on a treadmill, just step down. Walking down the street, walking your dog, just sit on the bench for a minute. This prayer will not take no more than a minute. Repeat after me. It's called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have broken your holy commandments. I have lied before many times. I have lusted after people and things that don't belong to me. I have stolen things that don't belong to me. I've dishonored my parents. I've done many other evil things, as you know. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my old sinful life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer. Let's all stand. Come to Jesus just now, just now. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for what you have done, for what you're doing, and for what you will do. And Lord, we thank you for allowing us to witness your power, grace this earth, by using a man to preach the gospel to millions. Only you could have done that. He knows it, and we know it. And we give you all of the glory, praise, and honor. But we thank you for leading him to yield himself to you. And we pray that millions more would rise up and yield themselves to you and say, Lord, I surrender all, and so that they can be used and we all can be used by you to be a shining light to a dying and lost world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. God bless you, dear friend. Until next time.